Jorge Macchi, Rendezvous. Dalla perfetta sintesi tra immagini e significati scaturiscono ironia e risonanze multiple inaspettate. È questo il lavoro di Jorge Macchi, un lavoro di sottrazione e di pulizia che amplifica tuttavia quel senso di destabilizzazione delle aspettative tipiche dei suoi lavori. In questa intervista Macchi ci spiega come nasca l'idea artistica, quale sia il rapporto tra casualità e arbitrio nei suoi lavori, cosa sia l'ironia e perché non possa essere definito un artista concettuale.
My name is Jorge Macchi. I am from Buenos Aires, Argentina, and I was born in 63. And this is my second show at Galleria Continua. For this show, I am presenting several independent works. So it's not one installation, they are independent works that maybe they are connected, they are linked. I am presenting works that are made in different media. I always do this kind of things because I think that the support, the media you choose is not very important. The most important thing is what happens behind the media you choose. Here in the exhibition, we have paintings, we have drawings, we have sculptures, videos, and there is one small book. In the case of this work that is called Planet, I used two percussion instruments that I call them panderetas. Everything started as a formal relation. So I had this map of the world that is two circles, and I related these two circles with the two circles of these two percussion instruments. I don't intend to say anything very precise. What I like in this work is the possible meanings that you can have when you know about this instrument and you know about the map of the world. As in the rest of the pieces in the show, there are some images or there are some materials or objects that they come together and they produce new readings of everyday life. In this sense, the title of the exhibition, that is the title of the piece that is in the end of the staircase, that is Rendezvous, for me is very important because when two mirrors meet, they multiply the images and they multiply its senses. This is the way I think I was thinking about this exhibition, how materials, how concept, how objects, they come together and they produce new readings of everyday life. The important thing is how these two mirrors meet and they multiply images. In fact, this is the way I am working all the time. I didn't know which pieces Mona Hatoum would be showing, but I know her very well, I know her work very well. And I know we have something in common. And this is maybe something that the galleries made very well, that is putting together two works that are not exactly the same, but they have the same climate. Maybe she's also working with these displacements. She's putting together images or objects and creating new readings of everyday life. So for me, it's something like the best company, because I think when you visit the whole show, so the work by Mona Hatoum and my work, I think there is something bigger that you can understand, or maybe you have some kind of feeling that is more interesting when you see both works together. I know that her work is much more related to violence and to the political situation in the Middle East. I think it depends on the political situation of your background, the souvenirs you have of your past or of the place you are coming from. In my work, generally, I don't work with so precise situations. Maybe sometimes, not very much in this show, but there is some kind of relation with violence, but it's always filtered by irony. For me, humor is very important, and maybe this is the most important difference between the work by Mona Hatoum and my work. For me, humor is very important. Even if it is not a humor for laughing, it is a humor for smiling. For me, smile is much more important than laughing. When you smile, you have the possibility to think. When you laugh, you don't have the possibility to think. And thinking is very important for me. When you see my work and you have the possibility to think, I think this is successful. There is something very important in the question you are asking, because you are talking about ideas, and I would say that I am starting with images. And this is why I don't think I'm a conceptual artist, although there are some other people who say that I'm a conceptual artist. But I don't agree with this position, because every time I start a new work, I start with an image. And then maybe afterwards there is an idea coming into the work. But I always start with ideas. And this is why I try to show these small drawings that you saw on the other floor, because this is really the beginning of everything. It starts as a very simple drawing, and the function of this very simple drawing is to transport or to translate the images I have on the paper. This is why they are not so elaborated also. They are very, very simple, and generally they are something like the image in the middle of a white paper. So in the case of the works that I made in collaboration with the musician, it also starts as an image. I had the experience of being in a bridge on an avenue, above an avenue, and seeing the cars and imagining there is a music that is produced by the cars. So maybe we are talking about the same thing, but for me this is not an idea. For me this is much more an image. I studied painting in the School of Art, but little by little I started taking out things. It was a process. So in the beginning, maybe I was much more Baroque, and then I started synthesizing. I don't know how to say that, the work. So in the end, it is something very clean. But for me, it is very important not to put elements in the works that maybe they can be taken out, so that maybe they are not important. This is why I am so obsessed with the relation between the image and the material. Because I always try to find something like the specific material for each one of the images. And if this material is enough, for me it's enough. It happens the same with the drawings. When I feel that the image is there on the paper, I don't want to go on, because I think it's nonsense to do it. But yes, it was not from the beginning like this way. So I think it was a process of cleaning the image of all the things that were not completely necessary. Yes, this is something I think I can talk about, because it's something that is completely specific of my way of working. Maybe this is style. I don't know if we can say this is style. There are some things that I know that I am working with, that is humor, irony, together with death or very tragic things. I am all the time obsessed with this idea of the end, or of these apocalyptical visions. I always have the feeling that everything can change dramatically, so catastrophically, from one second to the other. Maybe if you are all the time thinking about this, it's impossible to live. So maybe humor is the way of living. I don't think it's black humor. Maybe you consider that black humor is related to irony, but I think they are two things completely different. I understand that maybe when you are making humor, or when you refer humorously to death, for example, you are doing some kind of black humor. But if you see newspapers, and if you read newspapers, and you read, for example, the pages and pages of murders and accidents, and you read all this kind of shit, and then you say, who is doing black humor? Huh? For example, when you read that somebody was killed in the street, and the day after this story disappears because there is nothing else, and you say, why this story was in the newspaper? Maybe it doesn't seem to be humor, but in fact it's black humor. It is very important for the system, for the political system, to produce this kind of news, so the people are maybe afraid of something. It's much easier to control the people that are afraid of something, that people are that are very quiet and, how do you say, tranquil in the street. Maybe this is what happens with the video I am showing there in the video room. That you have these headlines, this something like these apocalyptic headlines about the economic crisis. It is also for making the people to be afraid of something. This is the sound of a musical box. You can put whatever in a musical box and it sounds very nicely. Because you notice that the letters are drawn on the pieces of cardboard with holes. And every one of these holes, they produce a sound. When they are all together, they produce kind of music. But this music is related to the drawing that the words make. but it's not related to my skills as a composer. The resultant music is something made by chance. It depends on the distribution of holes in the card. What I did, I took some decisions in this piece of music. That is, if you write the text on the upper side of the card, you have sounds that are higher, and if you have holes on the bottom part of the card, you have noises or sounds that are much more low. At the same time, you can have differences when you use capital letters and normal letters, because when you have capital letter that takes all the range of notes, and then you have the normal letters that takes a part of the range of notes. So I'm sure I took decisions in this point, but in the end, the music, the resultant music is by chance. It's made by chance. Well, there are some pieces that are completely by chance, and there are other pieces that I decided to work with a musician. For example, there is a work of 2004 that is called Musical Box. In this case, what I did was to make a video shot from an avenue, and you saw the cars coming into the image from the upper part of the frame. And every time that there was a car entering the image, the car was producing a sound. And the height of the sound depended on the position of the car entering the image. So in this case, I didn't take any decision. What I did was just to translate this structure of cars entering the image into a score. But, for example, in the video I showed here in Continua in 2006, the image is quite similar. You can see something like an avenue, but from the side. So you saw the cars entering the image from the left and coming out from the right. And then every time the car entered the image, it was producing a sound. But in this case, I worked with a musician, with Edgardo Rovnitsky, who's a musician, an Argentinian musician, who I work with since, I don't know, 10 years already. In this case, what he did was to take the rhythmic structure of all the cars entering, but he produced a piece. So he took just the rhythm. So he decided, he chose the notes for this structure. So in this case, you have something that is made by chance and something that is not made by chance. I started working with him in theater first. It was a time, it was 98, I think, that I started working in theater. And it gave me a sense of collaboration that was completely absent in my work before. That you make something like a part of the production and there is other people that make the other part. So in the end, the director is the one who puts all the things together. When I started working with Edgardo Rovnitsky, it was very interesting because we were completely at the same level. It was not that I was asking him to do something that was subordinated to the visual part. We were working at the same level, so the musical aspect of the piece was as important as the visual part. But at the same time, they are complementary. You can't take one part and take it out, because the meaning of the work is very important. The relation between music and visual aspect is very important. It's something like the heart of the work. I like contemporary artists who work with everyday situations and they produce a new way of looking at them. For example, I like very much the work by Francis Alice, so this Belgian and Mexican artist, and also the works by Sildo Meireles, the Brazilian artist, and there is also an artist from the Netherlands, it's called Mark Manders. They are all artists who work with everyday situations and everyday objects. It is impossible to see these objects and it's impossible to experiment these situations the same time you used to do it after seeing these works. This is the most important for me. For me, the passing between the Gothic and the Renaissance, so this moment of, for example, the Giotto, that you have this way of producing space and at the same time this contradiction with the symbolism, I find it completely interesting. It was very important for me in one part of my history as an artist, because it was so perfect for me, the dilemma, you know, they had. They were something like building a new way of representation, and at the same time they had this tradition. I liked very much the way all these two traditions were fighting in an object, in a painting. at the same time this sense of religious and at the same time the sense of scientific progress. And I think that this is the most interesting part of history of art, I think. Occidental art.